It's morning. It certainly is morning. And it is the news according to me. Good morning. It is, June 30th. It's the last day of June. We're almost halfway through summer already. I think actually officially the first day of summer was just a couple days ago. But it seems like it's about over already. Just summer isn't long enough. Maybe I live in the wrong place. I don't know. 7:35, Thursday, June 30th, and 2022. And we're pressing forward, pressing on with hope for the future. I'm going to keep trying to convince myself of that. And that helps a little bit. What's in my cup tends to help me get through that. We're over the hump for the week, and we're over the hump for the year, I guess. The material that is in my cup this morning, I call it that. Actually, I have a backup cup today. It's one of those days where I need a backup cup. I have a vanilla chai latte with a little bit of French vanilla creamer in there. You know, just the regular stuff. And then I've got, it's hot chai, it's not iced chai this morning. And I've got a backup cup over here, just in case, of, well, it's V8 Fusion with some ice. And of course I have what's left over of my Chick-fil-A tea from yesterday. So it's fresh tea, but it's, relatively fresh. It's kind of a fruity peach mango tea mix. Mostly peach mango. There's not a lot of tea there. Mostly just ice and watered down tea. But it's good. It's good. It's good for a backup. It'll you know, has that refreshing splash of, and it's not V8 Splash, it's V8 Fusion. Well, it's just V8, I guess. They don't have the name Fusion on the bottle anymore. Not sure what that's all about. So the chai is going to get me through the, because I'm down here in the basement again of my humble abode, my house. So I'm at the home studio, not the international headquarters home studio, but I'm at the my home studio, which still hasn't changed yet. It's still the same setup. For those of you who are keeping track, for those of you who have a scorecard, I haven't got my sound booth moved into the house yet. That's going to happen this weekend. By hook or by crook, they say. This month is actually, I have a pretty decent schedule this month. I have a lot of stretches of time off, mostly over weekends, which is amazing to me. Not sure how that works. I think that I'm becoming more senior, apparently, in my position at this other company that I've been doing work for. And they're treating me better. They're not dumping on me as much, which is not usually the case with... See, I'm looking at changing positions. In fact, it's not necessarily a step up, but it's a step in a different direction with this company. Still doing the same kind of work, but in a different department. And that department is known for overworking people. Hey, since you're here, can you just do this? Oh, can you just do that there? Because since you're going to be here, can you just do that? Wait, can you just work? You want to trade days with this, and you can just swap there and do a double here and that kind of stuff. And the next thing you know, you're working 11 days in a row and get 2 days off and come back and you work another 11 days. It's nice to have some job security. It's nice to be wanted, but it's also kind of nice to be, you know, have a life, be home. And especially at my age, I'm just not... I've kind of gotten over all that stuff. Anyway, and I've got you know, financial means by which I can make money. I don't need the job. I don't need to work for somebody else. So it's kind of one of those. Well, it's easy, but it's also, you know, it's kind of like taking time away from what I could be doing with a little more independence. But that's everything's got its, you know, you got to work. Got to work to eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's what they always told me. So I got a couple of jobs I need to do here. I got a lot of stuff I need to do around the house. Actually, got a couple extra days off. I was supposed to be working at this other place till Friday. I was supposed to come home Friday, but I got to go home last night. So, and they're still paying me. So it's all good. It's all good. I get a couple extra days to work on things at home, get ready for the weekend. The campgrounds on the weekend, this weekend anyway, are still full. I can't. Of course, I haven't really looked to see if there's any vacancies that have opened up. Probably should look at that. I'll look at that eventually. I won't get sidetracked here with my discussion with you. A lot of things to talk about. There, you know, we talked a little bit about this whole thing with this lady. What's her name? Hutchinson, whatever it is. Casty. Let's see if I can find that one article. I don't see it here. Well, anyway. The wheels have really come off the wagon. Now, what amazes me is that 10 hours ago, I just noticed that MSNBC still put out a report about all this stuff that's going on, about all the... And, of course, they're using, you know, Brett Baer's response to this whole thing. Sorry, I've had to hit the, what they call the cough button here a couple times. It's my mute button. So I'm sneezing. And I don't have one of those. When I'm on the road, I don't have one of those. I just have to pause the recording. And I don't like to do that. I like to keep things live. Because there's something about the whole experience of just, you know, being off the cuff. And, being actually live, not editing anything. So a lot of shows do. There's a lot of shows that come across like they're live. In fact, there's a lot of people who will post what they call live programs that they've actually pre-recorded. This is a little known trick in the business. When I go live, it's actually live. I don't, and I did this before. I had done it a couple of times because I don't have any staff. So I was trying to answer questions and stuff and do everything on the fly while I was going. And it was difficult. So what I ended up doing was I would record my show, and then I would play my show in real time rather than uploading it. I would just play the recording, and this was when I was doing video, and I could answer, you know, comments that way. But it wasn't as realistic because I couldn't respond to the comments. And they're coming in with the video, with the audio. I couldn't talk about the comments that were coming in. So it was kind of generic. You know, so there's this chat thing going on in the chat room while the video was playing, and it was a totally different subject. So it'd been much more dynamic if I could have responded to the messages. So I did that a couple times. I was like, I don't like this. This is just, it's too contrived. I stopped doing that. Felt like I was not being genuine with the in the moment. It was okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just I didn't like it. That's not the show I want to do. So the camping and I was talking about camping here. I did find this. I ran across this thing. I don't think it's going to help me out at all. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. Michigan DNR. Yeah, we love the state parks in Michigan on the west side of Michigan along the east coast of Lake Michigan. The state parks there are quite nice, especially all the way up the shore line. It's pretty nice. I'm gonna have people texting me now. People who want me to do things for them today. I have, back to this whole story with the J6 committee. I was just looking at some of the, let's see if I can, I'll check out the headlines here on my YouTube feed. See if I can still find this. Actually, it wasn't on my YouTube feed. It was 10 hours ago. MSNBC posted this. This is all stuff within the last couple of hours. 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. Let's go back to 10 hours. 8 hours. Where are we at here? Here we go. This is Liz Cheney delivers speech at Reagan Library to address the future of the Republican Party. She is the future of the Republic.
She is the future of the Republican Party.
I tell you, again, it gets back to this whole vocal thing that just, and I'm not a great impressionist, but there's certain personality disorders that come through in a person's voice. It's hard to describe the sensory perception that you have when you can recognize this stuff. But it's interesting. There's this one channel called Body Language Ghost, I think is what the name of her thing is. Is it Body Language Ghost? Let's see if I can find it here. Body Language Ghost. Let's see if that's a thing. Yeah, let's go there. Yep. No, that's not it at all. Well, I guess it is. She changed her logo. She did a this one's called Body Language. It's got Cassidy Hutchinson. It's got sweet as honey. She does a very good breakdown of what's going on with this whole thing. This lady who's now the star witness in this case, in this hokey dokey show. What happened was she came out and she gave this testimony, and of course Brett Baer responded with, "This is stunning, shocking, stunning." He had all these different words to describe it. Next thing you know, MSNBC comes out with every single one of his descriptors. Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at their channel here on MSNBC. See if we can find the headline. Yeah, watch the beat with his highlights. I think it was this one right here. Yeah. No? That was 47 minutes ago, so that couldn't have been it. Let's just go to their channel. I'm pretty sure it was MSNBC. See their videos. He plays this thing where he just goes over this whole montage of everything that Brett Baer, even Fox News turned. Fox News changed. It turned. So Fox News is now turning on. Where's the DOJ after bombshell testimony of January 6th testimony? Where's the DOJ now? Now that you've heard, well. If the DOJ, I'll tell you what, if the DOJ accepts the testimony and the show that's going on right now as something that they're going to go after, and if they're going to bring indictments based on what they see, the people they should be indicting are the people on the panel, this illegal circus, the clown show that we're seeing here. This lady's testimony. Yeah, they're pressing for the DOJ. There's like several different. The Trump coup nightmare. See the moment Fox News turns. Here, this is it right here. This is it. It was 11 hours ago. No, I guess it was a little longer than that. I haven't even listened to this thing. All I knew is I just read the headline. That's all I need to see. See the moment Fox News turned amidst devastating smoking gun. So they go on and on about this. The whole thing is. Everything that Brett Baer said, his response, his reaction. All the news media was in this tizzy. This, in spite of the fact that people have come out and said, now all you have to do is sit back and think about the story she's telling. You don't even have to listen to the way she's telling it or her voice or her body language or anything else. Just the way, just what she describes in the story itself. First of all, this is a story that supposedly someone else told her about what happened. She wasn't there. She makes it sound like she was around the president all the time. Like as if she walked into the room right after the president was there throwing ketchup on the wall. And then she helped clean it up. Can I guarantee you she didn't help clean up anything. This is not, she, the White House has staff for that. You don't have, she, they portray her as some kind of advisor to the, one of the president's advisors. No, she was an assistant to the chief of staff, Mark Meadows. She was an assistant. In other words, an administrative assistant. She was more like a, what we used to call secretary. She wasn't giving the president advice. She wasn't somebody who was on the, she wasn't in the meetings with the president. She wasn't there. If she was, she was quiet. I guarantee you they weren't asking for her opinion on anything. Now, here's my opinion about her. Now, this is, okay, you can call me a tinfoil hat guy. You realize that after all of this stuff happened, after January 6th and all the other things that she describes as having happened and how unhinged the president was, how out of, you know, out of control and irate, and he attacked a Secret Service agent, which was everything, you can call it hearsay if you want to. It was hearsay. It was, but the story that she was repeating may have been a story that was told to her. Now, I was kind of getting into this a little bit yesterday. I have known people, especially when you get into the intelligence world, when you get into law enforcement and that kind of thing, they will tell a story. And this is sneaky and underhanded. I don't condone this. They will tell a story to somebody just to see where they'll take it, because they don't trust the person. They know that person is a gossiper. They know that person is a conniving weirdo, whatever. And they'll tell a story in front of them, or they'll tell them a story about something and see where they'll take it. See what they do with that story. That's potentially what could have happened. I'm not saying it did. I'm saying it happens. Now, the vehicle that the president got into was not his typical limousine. It was after he spoke at the Ellipse. So I'm not sure exactly what they keep calling it, the Beast. My understanding was the Beast is not the president. It's the presidential limo is the Beast. I don't think he got in the presidential limo. It looked more like a, now it is an SUV. It's not a car. It is built on a truck frame. However, they make it look like a car. The Beast is looks a lot more, it's a fancier vehicle. The vehicle he got into looked more like a like an Escalade or something. And it just didn't have the same dressing on it. Maybe it's a new Beast. I don't know. So he sat in the back. You could see him getting in the vehicle. They have video of him getting in the vehicle. He's sitting clear in the back. And somehow he, I guess, plows his way through. There's like two or three other people in the car with him. Gets himself up in there. Has the little window divider thing come down, and he somehow gets up into the front seat of this thing, and grabs a hold of the steering wheel. And then with his other hand, with his free hand, because he's floating in the sky, because he's Superman, I guess. With his free hand, he tries to choke out one of the other Secret Service agents. Because he's, you know, because his hands are so small, and he's so clumsy and physically unable to even walk down a ramp. But he somehow, all of a sudden, he becomes Superman. And he starts taking over the presidential limo. And just about beats up the Secret Service agents. Yeah. This is the narrative they would have you want. They want to believe. This is what's really scary to me about this. These people, they believe this crap. They are so eager to find something on this guy that they will believe anything. Because in their minds, this is who he is. Somebody comes along with this wacky, wild story, and they're jumping all over it. They're just so pleased and happy. They're so triggered on a fine hair trigger with this stuff that they want to respond to it right away. Got him. And they don't even vet the story. Within hours, within minutes, I think it was, after this testimony, people came forward and said, I'll testify that this did not happen. I was there. Adam Schiff was pressed on this question of, is the Secret Service cooperating with you in your investigation? Some of them are, some of them aren't. Okay, so what are they doing? What, is it true or not? He wouldn't answer that question. So, well, some are being cooperative, some are not. I can't speak on it because it's an ongoing investigation. It's not an ongoing investigation. It's an allegation. Is the Secret Service cooperating with you or not? And what are they saying about it? They made a public statement saying that they're fully cooperating, and there was no assault on a. And then they said there was no assault on a Secret Service agent. They also say that there was no. The people who were there saying that never happened. And they're willing to testify that. Now, of course, the J6 committee say, you can come and testify anytime you want. We're here all the time. You can come and testify. Oh, yeah, you'll come and testify. And you think they're going to treat you like a normal. This isn't a normal court proceeding. You don't have any rights here when you go before them. They're going to ask you more questions. And they're not going to put, if it has anything exculpatory to do, they're not going to put that on television. That's how they do this stuff. They're not going to late breaking report. We've found information that discredits the story from this lady. I don't even like to say her name. And here's the reason why I don't like to say her name. There are people in this world, and I don't, especially people that get involved in politics and who are around politicians. They will never run for office themselves. They want to be around power because they don't want to be in the spotlight, but they want to be in the midst, an elbow away. They want to rub elbows with these people. The reason is completely for their self-gain of being able to stay out of the public, be able to do what they want to do and be in the know and be around these people who are of influence. It's a strange, strange thing. It is really, really difficult. Now, this is what's happening in the country right now. Let me back up. I know I've got a little high energy here going on this morning. This for me is high energy, believe it or not. This is it. This is all you get. I'm maxed out right now, and my meter is pegged on the energy level thing. At my age, it's probably beyond pegged. It slipped past the peg, and it's gone way past it. The peg kind of worn out. So I have a. I just about spilled my chai. That's how excited I am. There's two things going on here. This is a side story. This isn't nothing. Really nothing to do with it, other than it's an example. Hope you can understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to talk. I don't know if I think the chai is kicking in. I had chai. I didn't have my Wheaties this morning. I had a. It was supposed to be an apple fritter. It's not an apple fritter. I don't know what this thing was called, but it wasn't a fritter. Somehow this got mixed up, and it's a apple cream filled thing. It was like a donut filled donut thing with apple cream stuff. Just a whole lot of sugar going on there, and I'm washing it down with this very sweet chai latte. So the caffeine and the sugar are kicking in. Maybe I should be drinking more V8. I'll probably have to take a nap after this show. So there's two things going on. One is, it's well known right now. They've actually even said it on some newscasts that there are Democrats running as Republicans. They are cloaking themselves in the Republican Party garb, trying to run as Republicans, but they are actually Democrats to try to disrupt the Republican Party. This is their strategy right now. This is not the first time this has happened. Pete Buttigieg pulled this strategy in South Bend, Indiana. He did not run as a Republican. He ran as a Democrat, and he said he was a Republican. He said this to the police department. And I knew several people in the police department at that time because I went to church with some of them over there. Going to a different church at that time. They said they had a meeting with this guy running for mayor. And he said, well, I would run as a Republican, because there were quite a few, there were a lot more conservatives in the police department than what the South Bend, you know, typical population is. It's a leftist city, basically. And all you have to do is drive down the street. You can see that because of the poverty that's there. So he had this meeting where he said, well, I would run as a Republican, but in this town, you can't run as a Republican and win, so I have to run as a Democrat. This guy is further left than most. He could be on the squad. If he was in Congress, he'd be in the squad. He's a radical leftist. He's probably mad at Biden for not doing enough. No. That's the way he pulled it off. Of course, when he got in office, it was really obvious that he was. And so he pulled this off in that respect. Now they're just blatantly running in states that are red, trying to cloak themselves in this idea of being a Republican, and they're not. They are donating money. There's a lot of money that was, now, of course, this came out. This you never know how this chess game is being played, because this could be kind of a screwy deal. The Democrats in this one race, I think it was a governor's race, maybe it was a primary, was it primary? They were dumping money into the radical, they called him radical right-wing opponent's campaign to try to get them to win the primary so that they would run against them in the actual election, because they knew they couldn't win. They knew a radical right-winger wouldn't win, so that's who they wanted to run against. Well, this news got out, of course, and nobody voted for the guy in the primary because they were concerned that they were being duped. So this was kind of a weird scenario. But this is where they've got a lot. Look, where's all this money coming from? They spent millions of dollars. You don't just write checks for millions of dollars, folks. This is money flowing from, like, it's sloshing around from somewhere. Where could this money possibly be coming from? How could it be that there's just millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars out there floating around or someplace, finding its way back into campaign intervention like this? I'm going to call it intervention. I would call it interference. This is dirty, dirty, dirty politics, folks. This isn't just running on a platform and having your. You don't care about a country when you do this. All you care about is your power over that country. Power over people is all you want. And again, the means doesn't matter. It's the end. That's all that matters. And they're the ones who want to be on top at the end. And they think that they're doing a favor for the country. Listen to the words they say. When they say the vast majority of Americans don't want, they want the Supreme Court to maintain Roe v. Wade. No, that's, well, then why are you worried about it? Because this is going back to the vast majority of Americans. The vast majority of Americans now can decide state by state. Roe v. Wade did not make it illegal. Roe v. Wade just said the federal government can't. There's no right enumerated in the Constitution for an abortion. It's not there. That's all they're saying. The Constitution doesn't, the Bill of Rights does not recognize your right to an abortion. You have to make that decision state by state. Well, the Supreme Court became all of a sudden they're tyrants over us. No, they're not. They actually are giving up their power. They usurped power that didn't belong to them 50 years ago. 50 years of precedence. It just took that long to get it straightened out. There are plenty of other things. That whole precedence thing. Well, this has been this way for 50 years. Now we're going to change it. Yeah, well, There are a lot of laws on the books for, well, we're just evolving. Well, why don't they just say, look, they're evolving on the issue? That's what we should say. Well, they're just evolving on the issue. They've made all kinds of ridiculous statements about it. They don't understand anything about the way the Supreme Court works or what it's the branch of government that they're responsible for. They're not congressmen. They don't take a poll on what the American people think and want. They don't need representation from different colors and genders. They just need the ability to interpret the law, not looking at it through some lens of colored skin or of genitals. That doesn't have anything to do with the way the law is interpreted. They think it does because race has everything to do with everything. But this is where the blindfolders have to go on, and the DOJ is the same way. But they're picking and choosing as well now. It's become a politicized, weaponized, whatever you want to call it, branch of the left-wing party. So they're infiltrating people in that respect. They're also infiltrating offices. I believe there were a lot of spies. You have to understand the numbers of staff surrounding the president. The ability to vet these people is a mountainous, a monumentous, is a huge undertaking. You can't find out much about the people. They can fabricate a lot of things about their past. Someone can get, maybe not next to the president, but next to someone who is next to the president. This woman wanted to be, she's right there. She's Mark Meadows, kind of sidekick. Supposedly called him by his first name, according to her stories. I don't know that I would ever do that. If I was working as, I think I would be calling the man Mr. Meadows all the time, unless he insisted I call him Mark. This is where you definitely have to respect the office to some degree. I've had bosses before. I called them by their first name. I worked for people, and I would call them by their first name, especially after being there for a while. However, when you start working your way up the level of respect that you have for the president, I don't know that I would ever call Donald. I'd just walk up to him and say, hey, Don, especially if I was working for him. It would be Mr. President all the time. It would always be Mr. President. I just, no matter who it is. I don't know. It's Kamala Harris. I don't know. Probably just say, hey, you. I wouldn't work for him. But anyway, there are spies. There are plants. There are people who within and around the people who are in charge that are sellouts. Listen to the stories she is telling and the way she's telling them in terms of the narrative that she's painting, this portrait that she's making of Donald Trump. He's unhinged. He's a big baby, throws tantrums. What is it the left has been saying this whole time without any proof of any of this? It's always hearsay. We never see it publicly. We never see any of this stuff happening. She's constantly talking about this all the time. And it becomes obvious when you realize, oh, she's just going right along the narrative that they're painting. And that's why she's telling us exactly what we want to hear. We're going to post it. Now, what would be really cool here, this would be really fun. This is something I would like to do. If I was working for the president, I'd come out and go, I've got all kinds of dirt on this guy. Let me come out and talk about it. And I'd tell him all these wild, wacky, crazy stories. Once they go down with this whole thing, then I'd come back and say, you know what? None of this ever happened. I made the whole story up, and you guys soaked it up without any vetting, without any kind of corroboration, anything at all. You guys believed everything hook, line, and sinker because that's who you are. Your Trump derangement syndrome has you so over the top. Did you believe everything I said? And I've exposed you now for the ridiculous psychopaths that you are. Not a thing I said was true, and you believed every bit of it, and it was a crazy story to begin with. How could you possibly just listen to it and believe it without any objectivity whatsoever, without ever asking a question, without any kind of cross-examination or anything else? You just took it for what it said, what I said. And I didn't even say I was there to see it. All I said was somebody told me the story about it. And you took it all as fact. This is what happened. We have secondhand information here. That's how ridiculous this is. And this, again, the whole committee is not legitimate. It was not put together. It was not assembled in the way that the law that they passed, HR 503, said it was supposed to be done. It is not a court of law either. These hearings are a joke. If the DOJ operates or acts on anything of this, and they will. I truly believe that the DOJ, as soon as they know that they have the public opinion on their side, which I don't think they do, and I don't think they will. Is it Boris Johnson, whatever the guy's name is from England or wherever, they were trying to convince him that, you know, January 6th was this coup, it was this, the democracy was hanging by a thread. Jake Tapper was trying to ask him questions. People died. And he's like, yeah, it was weird. It was weird. Boris Johnson knows exactly what happened. He's not stupid. And he was talking to Jake Tapper, and Jake Tapper was trying to get him down this road of, yeah, I'm really concerned about, you know, the U.S., you know, what used to be this beacon on a hill. Well, he didn't say that. He said, it is still a shining beacon on a hill. He was actually born in New York City, by the way. He asked Jake Tapper where he was born. It's kind of... kind of funny. Anyway, but he goes on to talk about how, you know, America is still, you know, this bastion, this guarantor of democracy. Very interesting that they still have that opinion. And he just kind of shuffled off the whole thing about January 6th being this almost lost their democracy thing. He sees it for what it is. He's a realistic look at that thing, which I appreciated the fact that he was actually able to not go along with the crowd on that one. Didn't go down that stupid path, which made Jake look very uncomfortable and kind of feel kind of silly. I would have jumped on. Yeah, who exactly died that day? Because if you say Officer Sicknick, he died of natural causes, and it was the next day, and it was from a stroke. Had nothing to do with what happened. Now, the stress might have caused, I don't know what happened there, but understand, Officer Sicknick was actually a Trump supporter. I kind of think that was a motivation for them to actually put him in the rotunda and have his body lay in state there while they were having these hearings, while they were having this, all this stuff was going on. They used him as a political pawn. I think he would have objected to that. I think that was disrespectful of his office and his service. But that's just, again, the end justifies the means. These people don't care. They didn't care about Officer Sicknick at all. If you could probably mention his name right now, they wouldn't even know who he was. They used him as a pawn to get their way. That's who these people are, and that's how they are. Then you have this woman who testifies, and come to find out, this letter that she says she wrote in her writing, and it was her handwriting. I was listening to Robert Gouveia last night. He was talking about this, and he showed this letter. He said, you know, if I just looked at that letter, if without knowing who wrote it, I would say a man wrote that letter because of it looks like his handwriting. He said it does. I looked at it, and I was like, it's better than my handwriting, but it's probably... most women that I've seen write things and take notes, it's much easier to read. They usually are very careful about how they write. It's just the way a woman's brain is wired, I guess. I don't know I'm not trying to be misogynist here or anything. I'm just saying, in general, women have better handwriting than men. Now, believe it or not, I could be called sexist for saying that. Even though I'm saying that women have better handwriting than men, I'm still sexist. Because I'm not, because I don't believe that that was her handwriting, because based on how sloppy it was. Well, come to find out, this other guy comes out, the other lawyer says, no, that was my handwriting, that was my note. It was one of their other star witnesses who said, no, that wasn't hers, that was mine. She claims it was hers. Now, is one lie, does that mean everything else she said is a lie? No. Does a lot of the stuff, that these major bombshell things that she's writing, that she says, that she's saying, is it? No, she's trying to take, look, she's trying to get her 15 minutes of fame here. She's trying to get her book deal. You have to keep that in mind. They're trying to get an indictment, and right now, looking at everything here on MSNBC, here's Anita Hill. Let's see what Anita Hill says, because, of course, she's important. Oh, there's plenty. She's still going after Clarence Thomas. There's probably plenty of evidence of conflict of interest for Clarence Thomas. They're trying to impeach Clarence Thomas, by the way, now, because his wife donated to somebody's campaign and has been a part of something. I don't know what she's been. She's pro-life and stuff. That disqualifies Clarence Thomas, because it's a wife. If we did that with the Democrats' politicians, their spouses and their significant others, their whatever, they'd all be impeached. Let me just read through some of these headlines now, because they just have exploded with this whole thing here. Let's go with Neil Cattell. The really dicey situation for Mark Meadows. Let's go back here. What Trump did on January 6th outside of the constitutional framework. I was there and talk about that. Raskin, who is now showing himself to be absolute enemy to the country here. Hutchinson, it was an exemplary witness who displayed remarkable courage. This hearing is about as historic as it gets. It's one guy he was talking about. I remember hearing this one thing. Rudy Giuliani allegedly slapped in a New York City supermarket. This who's the violent ones here? Who are the violent ones? Who are the ones who are cussing and swearing in public and saying F you and F this and F Thomas and all this other stuff that's going on? Did Trump ever say stuff like that? But he's the nasty one, right? He's the nasty one. He's the one who's a pig. This is the kind of idiocracy we have here. DOJ should be pressing for corroboration of Hutcherson's testimony. Yeah, they should be. They need to corroborate that, her story. That's unusual to see that. The Weather Underground's legacy 50 years later. The Weather Underground, who they actually committed acts of terrorism, blowing up buildings and doing things, but they're actually actually hailed as heroes on the left. Yeah, let's see what else we got here. Criminal Trump. See definitive report on how far star witness or how star witness imperils ex POTUS. Testimony suggests a violent insurrection was Trump's goal on January 6th. Of course, they got pictures of him making all these faces and being mad. It's so ridiculous. Where's the DOJ after bombshell 1-6 testimony? They want the DOJ to act. How Trump's coup plot followed a pre-existing script in American history. Meadows in hiding in wake of Hutchinson testimony. He's in hiding. This is according to Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, by the way, who comes out and talks and just gets interviewed and tries to talk about all this stuff. Oh, he's in hiding now. He's not coming out. He's not talking to anybody. Yeah, he's in hiding. Yeah, he shuffled off to some other country somewhere. They're going to go after him. I guarantee you, they're going to call him in front of them. They're going to try to get his testimony. They already have. I mean, they have carte blanche here to get people's phone records, t- text messages, emails, they're going after all this stuff. When has somebody on a political party had the opportunity to just go in and get everything from the previous administration's communication? This is their license to do that. I think they have a license to kill here. And they're going after it. This is what we're seeing is unprecedented. And we'll talk about breaking 50 years of precedence. They don't want this guy to come back. And they think he's a monster. The SCOTUS decision hurts black voters. Of course it does. Yeah. Because they have to say that because they don't want to lose. They're losing people right now. There's some kind of report came out that that 1 million people have deliberately switched parties now, like officially. It's not just Democrats voting Republican. They've switched parties. They've left the Democrat Party. 1 million people have left the Democrat Party. They're going to have to get a lot more people coming across the border to pay them to vote. Or they're going to have to print out a lot more ballots. Or figure out something else so they can get out these. Well, of course, they got, what'd they win by this last time? Ridiculous number. Folks, I'm surprised at the number of people who think that 10 million people showed up to vote that normally don't vote. That just 10 million people all of a sudden showed up to vote. That more people showed up to vote at the 2020 election than have ever showed up before for any other voting ever in the history of mankind. That blows my mind that even people on the right, I'll call it the right, there are even conservative people who just believe that this, I think it's just 10 million people showed up to vote. Seriously, you really believe that? You believe this guy was more popular, or the people hated Trump so badly that many people were motivated to show up and vote against this guy? Just happened to be in key states where they had just enough people have came in and vote. Yep, nothing to see here. See what else we got here. Going. Supreme Court's minority rulings aren't over. Of course, we go on with more of that stuff. Tina Smith on protecting medical abortion. Yeah. Coercion. Eyed in Trump paying lawyer fees of January 6 witnesses. See, this is everybody says, why isn't Trump stepping in and paying for the fees for these guys, they're representing and helping these guys get in, that are political prisoners. There's people in prison right now from January 6th that have not had and they're not going to have their trial until January of, believe it or not, during the anniversary of this thing of next year. They're being held in solitary confinement. Not given their rights at all. Charged with crimes. This one doctor, Simone Gold, she was charged with obstruction of justice. Charged with obstruction of justice, which they had no evidence of. They just charged her with it. This is backwards in this country. They're not even operating by the rule of law anymore. And I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist or a virologist. I'm not a life coach or a financial counselor. I'm just a guy with a bunch of opinions that apparently has a cup and people like to find out what's in my cup. So they tune in to listen to me talk about, rant about stuff so they can find out what's in my cup. She was arrested in an FBI raid, by the way. They came into her house with guns and carted her off in handcuffs. They didn't just show up at her door and say, please come with us. They busted into her home and hauled her out. This is a doctor who's never had any violent crime, never done drugs, wasn't any kind of death threats going on. She happens to have been in the White House, or in the Capitol, I'm sorry, in the Capitol building on January 6th because she was outside making a speech. And of course, 5,000 people are coming rushing into the building. There's no place to go, but they opened the doors from the inside, by the way. The doors were open from the inside. They were unlocked and opened from the inside, and people started coming in. This isn't on the side where the scaffolding was. This is, everybody started walking in. They were let in. You know, I guess somebody wanted to have an insurrection. And there was no place for her to go, but in. The rush of people were going in. Now, an insurrection, where you want to take over the government, if that number of people out there wanted to take over the government, if there were even 700 of them, even 100 of them, they did a very poor job of this. They were not armed. Now, there's all this talk about the mags. Take the mags out. Like, okay, so President Trump's going to speak at the Ellipse. And supposedly he's making these comments behind the scene that he doesn't want the magnetometers. It's not the mags, not the gun mags. It's magnetometers. I don't know that they call them the mags. I don't know if that's all the stuff that's what they call them. Take the magnetometers, which is the metal detectors. Everybody has to go through a screening to get into this area where the Ellipse is, where they're going to listen to this speech. They were finding some weapons on some people. They don't say what kind of weapons. They don't say guns. They just say weapons. I guarantee you the TSA finds thousands of weapons every day because of their definition of weapon. If I have a pocket knife, it's a weapon. If I have a Leatherman tool thing on my belt, it's a weapon. Because it's got a pocket knife in it, it's got a pliers, and it's got a little tweezers. Now, I happened to see one day a flight attendant. There's this thing called known crew member, and you can get on an airplane. You can go through security. You don't have to go through security. If you're a known crew member, you go through certain points. There's certain checkpoints at certain airports, not all airports. Or you're a known crew member, and you can flash your badge, and you show them all kinds of identification, and they check you out, and say they can random test you. But you can go through as a known crew member and not have to go through the whole security thing, which is nice because, you know, it's just taking your bag out and doing all your stuff. And they do random you. Once in a while, they'll send you through the magnetometer. But however, this flight attendant I saw she had apparently gone through KCM most of the time she was getting in and out of security. And they hadn't had this overnight at this one city, and as they were going through the security process, they didn't have known crew member there. They pulled out this knife. It's like a paring knife. It was bigger than a paring knife. It probably had a blade about 6 inches long. And she actually kind of got mad about it. She was arguing with them and saying, "Well, how am I supposed to cut my food?" Well, apparently nobody told you this during training. I don't know. I don't understand how you got to this point and you don't understand. You can't just be carrying around a knife. It kind of amazed me. How long have you been carrying that thing around? So, that being said, that was a weapon. That would have been classified as a weapon. For a while, if you had a nail file on your, after 9/11, if you had a nail file on your toe clippers, that's a weapon. They had to break that off. They had to take your clippers away. Because, you know, you could bring down an airplane with that thing. You give me 40 years on a nail clipper file, I can destroy the entire airplane. So this is the kind of stuff. So they say they're weapons. Nobody said anything about guns. Now, supposedly, Trump didn't want he wanted the magnetometers taken away. No, I don't want any kind of protection here. These people aren't going to hurt me. They're not here to hurt me. How do you know that? He doesn't know who's showing up to listen to him speak. He's not going to talk about taking away magnetometers. He's not going to do that. It's just stupid. But this is what Ms. Hutchinson. I don't know. As she's telling this story, if you have to listen to this body language expert just nails this whole thing. Talks about where she's looking as she's speaking, how she's telling the story, where she's getting information. This isn't coming from memory. She's very, very clear about some of the stuff. Now, she doesn't make any assumptions, and she says there's stress here. It could be this or it could be that. But then, you know, like, she's sitting on her, she's got her one fist clenched, and she's almost sitting on her hand. Very similar to James Comey, by the way, as he was sitting there being interviewed. There's a couple different, it's interesting to see some of this stuff. Maybe it was Andy McCabe, I can't remember. The similarities in the way people act under pressure like this, the things that they do, they don't even realize they're doing. The way they're trying to cover something up, they're trying to hide something, they're stressed in a particular situation, and all of a sudden the stress leaves to answer some questions, and it's back again to answer others. And it's just really interesting to see that kind of thing. And it's also interesting to hear, if you have a chance to listen to Robert Gouveia. Robert Gouveia, see if I can find his, how to spell his name, his whole thing here. Well, it's going to be over here. They're going to find it quicker this way. And Black Conservative Patriot. I was listening to him a little bit this morning. Didn't have time to listen to his whole show. But he is, here we go. Robert Gouveia. His name is R-O-B-E-R-T, Robert Gouveia, which is G-O-U-V-E-I-A. Check out his channel. He's also, he calls himself Watching the Watchers, and I think he's got a website, maybe watchingthewatchers.com. Let me see if that's actually his website. He's a defense attorney in Arizona. It's not showing up here. It's thinking. We'll see if it pops up. Very interesting stuff. To hear him talk about how, you know, what's going on with all the, yeah, I don't, so I've lost my MSNBC thing here, so feed here. So this, all this stuff is happening, and I think we just need to pay attention, I think, and really have a critical thinking, objective eye when we look at all this stuff. I don't trust very many Republicans right now. Kevin McCarthy? Not at all. Lindsey Graham? Not at all. The guy's a snake. Absolute snake. He's not stupid. He can come across like he's Mr. Down-home, you know, down-home guy from Southern, you know, whatever. But he, no. This guy's a political conniving guy. I don't trust him. Trevor Loudon, Counterpunch. I'll just throw this in here at the end. We have to close up the show here soon. Trevor Loudon has this thing about, we'll talk about this more possibly this evening or tomorrow morning. Has a really good show on, and it's about, the gay rights movement and the LGBT movement. Not talking about gay people or LGBT people. He's talking about the gay rights movement. He said it's no more trying to help gay people than BLM is trying to help black people. It's the same. They use Marxist tactics to bring about their revolutionary change. Now, here's the interesting thing about this is how he pinpoints the people who are behind most of these political movements and their roots politically and what they believe. It is actually, it's a huge Marxist movement underneath the covers, so to speak, under the camouflage of an oppressed people movement. And this is how the Marxists move into a lot of different areas. They will have this Marxist ideology, which is exactly what BLM did. They're blatantly Marxist. They even say they're Marxist. There's video of them saying that they're Marxist. And they use the typical oppressed people movement to work their way into power. And of course, once they have money, they don't think about, well, what am I going to do with all this money? I'm not sure what to do with all this money. I might as well buy houses with it. And all this money just started coming in. I didn't know what to do with it. Sorry. I started buying houses. How about you pay for some of the damage that was done? Some of these businesses, some of them black businesses. I'm going to call it that. Businesses owned by black people. Nothing. Nothing at all. No help there. Nope. You got insurance. It's for you to take care of. Yeah. So that's the kind of, well, of course, thinking I'm not going to be able to come up with $2 billion to take care of all that stuff that was damaged. Because, you know, the insurrectionists came in and put their feet up on Nancy's desk and they stole the podium. They practically took the whole country. The country was basically inside that podium that was being carried around by the guy with the horns on. It was a deadly insurrection. Deadly. And Ashley Babbitt was really the only one killed that day. In relation, well, there was another one killed as well. She was basically beaten to death by police. This all could have been prevented. There's the J6 Commission, if they would really be objective and if they had any kind of other cross-examination or anything else going on that was anything close to a actual court case and they actually had fair rules here, you'd realize this whole thing was a sham. But that's not what they're doing. That doesn't help their cause at all because they have to get rid of Trump. They have to deny him the ability to come back and do a second run in 2024, which I'm not even sure he's going to do. But Joe Biden hasn't even been in office 2 years, and they're already talking about, oh, we're going to run again? Well, sure. Yeah, sure, I'm going to run again. Yeah. I just need to get a truckload of diapers in here. Anyway, I digress. The bumper music's kicking in. And I, first of all, thanks for listening, folks. And I've just kind of been on a very quick rant. It's just nothing but a full-speed rant here this morning. Appreciate you listening to all my rants. Thanks for liking, subscribing, sharing, all that stuff. I know there's some loyal people out there, apparently, because the numbers kind of show that there's loyalty there. So appreciate it, folks. God bless. Have a great day. We'll be back tonight or tomorrow.